I saw an eternal hell, although I couldn't say that it was hell because I didn't know that much about it. But I knew that whatever was after death, it was something like hell. And I began to seek. And I found out that prayer might help, and I prayed two very simple prayers, the Lord's Prayer and the Child's Prayer. And this amazed me because I thought I was tough and rugged. I wanted excitement and adventure. And that's why I joined the Marines. And here I found out that I was like a child, that I was unprepared to die and praying like a child. Another book, I had read a book in the hospital library that taught me a little bit about prayer, and as a result I began to pray these two simple prayers. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." And my heart was searching even though my words were simple. In the next fiction book that I read, I learned that the New Testament might have some answers. The New Testament had changed the life of an old man who believed in an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Or as the Marine Corps says, Semper Fidelis, which being translated in the original means, "I've got mine, how you doing?" That's kind of the way the world looks at life, isn't it? I had a buddy bring me a little Gideon New Testament. Most of you are too young to be Gideons, I think. Are there any Gideons here? You're all too young. When you get old and you're less active, then you'll become a Gideon, I hope. But these are my spiritual fathers. Thousands and thousands of them who had the faith to believe that by giving the money and giving their testimony and getting out the printed word of God without seeing much results, that God would bless his word. And Jeremiah 23:29 says, "Is not my word like as a fire and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" And is there any rock harder than the human heart? Only the Word of God can break through the hardness of our human hearts. I began to read, and it was so exciting. I began with Matthew, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, Jacob begat Judah. And isn't that exciting? 18 verses worth, 17. And how many people, your friends, have picked up the New Testament and they began that way? And they thought, "Boy, I can't get anything out of that," and they set it aside. We need men like Philip in Acts 8, who under the direction of the Holy Spirit went out and found one man, the Ethiopian eunuch, riding along in his chariot. He was beside a water hole, taking a break, reading the scriptures in Isaiah 53, and Philip found him under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And he said, "Do you understand what you read?" And he said, "No, how can I, except some men direct me and teach me?" And this is what your neighbors are waiting for, the people at your place of work, for you to take this hammer, this fire, and tell them what it means. Tell them the gospel. And I believe at that crossroads of my life, I almost missed. But my heart was very hungry. And I kept reading that Gideon New Testament. And as I read, I found out over a period of 3 months that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that if I was the only man that who had ever lived, he would have died for my sins. And I found out that by simple childlike faith, that if I would receive him into my life as my resurrected Savior, that new life would come, a new hope, a new peace, new motivation, and a new calling in life. But I almost missed it at the crossroads. Another piece of geography, if I can talk about this, we really don't. Oftentimes we minimize geography as we spiritualize life. But a piece of geography that was important in my life was an island called Okinawa. In 2 years after I became a Christian by reading this New Testament, we went into our third campaign, which was the Battle of Okinawa, and I zigged when I should have zagged, or I zig-zigged, or I zag-zagged, and I was wounded through the throat and in the hand. One of the greatest thrills of my life was about back in 1965, when we first began the collegiate phase of the ministry in Japan. I led a work camp team down to Okinawa, and we were down there for a couple of weeks. We were fellowshipping with some American servicemen, and so one day we went down to the spot where I was wounded, and this was a group of young Japanese fellows, mostly all college students, around 10 or 12 of them, and then these servicemen. I told the story to them on the spot, and in this field where combat had taken place in 1945 and many men on both sides lost their lives, one of the fellows went over to the side there, and there were some lilies growing. And he picked a lily, bulb and all, and handed it to me and said, "This represents the new generation of Japanese." And I took that bulb home and planted it, and had it around the house for several years. When God does something in one's life, it's forever, isn't it? He delivers from one's enemies, and yet also he can take you back to those enemies. And you know, the Japanese people, after World War II, and when John and I were fellowshipping there at One Renata in Oakland, California, God had spoken to my heart about foreign missions. And then I after several struggles, you know, I'm not the great heroic missions volunteer, but as Matthew 9:38 says in the Berkeley version, as the Lord speaks of this great white harvest field, he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the the laborers are few. Pray therefore that the Lord of the harvest would draft laborers into his fields. So I really am a draftee because I struggled against it. I struggled against the foreign field. And then God began to show me where. In the foreign fields, the fields of the world that he wanted me. And of all of the strange places, it was Japan and Okinawa for a period of time. Our first home was in Okinawa. And I don't know if you've ever gone into a Japanese house, but on your honeymoon or after your honeymoon to take your bride across the threshold is quite difficult in Japan or Okinawa. Because you have to step up about that far, but first you have to kick off your shoes. So if you're holding your bride, you know, and trying to kick off your shoes and step up on the threshold there, it's quite a feat. How did I get into that? The Japanese people. Japan was my Samaria. Jesus Christ in Acts 1:8 told his disciples to go into Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Japan was my Samaria, the land of my enemies. And I just don't have time to tell you the struggles and how he drafted me to go to Japan. But he did, and it's been a wonderful experience co-laboring with some of you through your prayers and gifts in that part of the world. I want you to look at this chart here. I must close. I've gone a little bit too long right now, but a verse that is much on my heart, just having been back to the United States as John and Helen have for a few weeks, I have many deep impressions after being gone for 4 years. One impression I have, among many, is that our country is in a dream, and that we do not really face life as it really is. We're not serious about life. We are not redeeming the time in these evil days. We have no sense as a nation, and even as Christians, of the urgency of the hour. And I think of Psalm 90, verse 12, where it talks, all of Psalm 90 talks about the shortness of life. And it's summed up by verse 12. And it says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom," or apply our hearts unto wisdom. And I want you this morning to think about the shortness of your days. And so I've squeezed 70 years into a 24-hour period. And I hope that at least one member of the family will copy down where you are in a 24-hour period. In other words, now if you're younger than 30, you'll have to go backwards. I didn't put it up here. But if you're 30 years old, it's 10:20 in the morning. Almost time for a coffee break. If you're my age, 50, it's 5 o'clock. Time to get off work according to American standards. And then, of course, down here, it's midnight, and Psalm 90 speaks of a person's life being 70 or 70 years. And that's the end of the day. If you're my wife's age, let's see, it's back. I didn't put it on here. But anyway, this is your age, right down here, and this is the time of day. Perhaps that will help you to see the urgency of the hour and how we need to redeem the time.